Have you ever broken out of the clouds at minimums, seen the runway environment right there in front of you, and had a little voice in the back of your head ask, "Wait, am I actually allowed to land from here? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar." Today we're going to untangle one of the most misunderstood regulations in the whole instrument rating, 9175. The reg that tells you exactly when you can leave the minimum descent altitude or the decision altitude and actually go down and land. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, and instrument rating milestones matter as much as any of them. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Here's the scenario. You're flying an approach into an airport that's socked in. The weather is right down on the deck, you're on the glide slope coming down the localizer, and you reach decision altitude. That is the moment of truth on a precision approach. At that exact altitude, you either see what you need to see or you go missed. There's no leveling off, no hanging around. You make a decision. That's why they call it decision altitude. But what exactly do you need to see? This is where pilots get fuzzy. And this is where the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, spelled it out in plain language in 91.175 paragraph C. There are three things that all have to be true before you can go below the DA or the MDA and land. Three conditions. All three. Not one, not two. All three. Let's take them one at a time. Condition number one. You have to be in a position from which a normal descent to the runway can be made using normal maneuvers. And for a Part 91 operator flying a straight-in approach, that descent has to be able to touch down within the touchdown zone. Think about what that's really saying. If you break out and you're way high, or you're off to the side, and getting to the runway would take a diving, slipping, banking, standing on the brakes kind of arrival, you don't meet condition one. You go around. The reg is telling you if you can't fly it down like a normal stabilized landing, you are not allowed to land. That ties right back to something we've talked about before, the stabilized approach. This is that same idea, written into law. Condition number two, the flight visibility. And I want to slow down here because this is the one that trips up more instrument students than any other. The rule is that the flight visibility has to be at or above the visibility prescribed in the approach you're flying. Notice the word flight visibility, not the visibility on the ATIS, not the reported visibility from the tower, flight visibility. Here's the difference, and it matters. The reported visibility, the number the automated station or the controller gives you, that's a ground measurement. It's what a sensor or an observer sees from a fixed point on the airport. But the number printed on your approach plate as a minimum is flight visibility. And flight visibility is defined as what you, the pilot, can see forward from the cockpit in flight. Now, why does that distinction matter so much? Because of a subtle and important truth. The reported ground visibility does not legally control whether you can land on a Part 91 approach. Let me say that again, because it surprises people. Under Part 91, the reported visibility does not, by itself, prohibit you from starting or continuing the approach. There's no approach ban in Part 91 the way there is for the airlines. Under Part 121, if the ATIS is reporting a quarter mile and your approach calls for half a mile, you as a Part 91 pilot are legally allowed to fly the approach and take a look. But, and this is the whole point, here's the catch that keeps this from being a loophole. When you get down to minimums, the flight visibility, what you actually see out the window, still has to meet the number on the plate in order to land. So you can fly the approach, you can go down and take a look. But if you get to the DA and you cannot see far enough down that runway, you have not met condition two and you're going missed, legally, not optionally. So the reported visibility tells you whether it's smart to try, the flight visibility tells you whether you can land. And you, sitting in that seat, are the one who has to make the honest judgment about what you actually see. That's a heavy responsibility, and the reg puts it squarely on your shoulders. Which brings us to condition number three, and this is the famous one. The list, at the decision altitude, or the MDA, at least one of the following visual references for the intended runway, has to be distinctly visible and identifiable to you, and there's a specific list of these in the regulation. Let's go through them, because the examiner is looking for you to know them cold. The approach light system, although, and this is an important subrule, if the only thing you can see is the approach lights, you can come down to 100 feet above the touchdown zone elevation, but no lower, unless you can also see the red terminating bars or the red side row bars. So the approach lights alone get you to 100 feet. To go lower, you need something more. Keep going down the list. The threshold markings, the threshold lights, the runway and identifier lights, the RIL, the visual approach slope indicator, your VASI or PAPI, the touchdown zone or the touchdown zone markings. The touchdown zone lights, the runway or runway markings, and the runway lights. That's the list. And here's the thing to burn into your memory. You only need one of them, distinctly visible and identifiable. See one item on that list, meet the other two conditions, and you are legally cleared to leave minimums and land. Now let's put all three together in a real cockpit, because that's where this lives. You're coming down an ILS, decision altitude, you look up, and there. Floating in the murk, you can just make out the sequenced flashing lights, the rabbit, the approach light system leading you in. That's item one on the list. Condition three, satisfied. You're in a position for a normal descent to the touchdown zone. Condition one, satisfied. And you judge that your forward flight visibility meets the half mile the approach requires. Condition two, satisfied. All three, you land. But remember that sub rule, if all you've got is those approach lights and nothing else, you keep coming down only to 100 feet above touchdown zone elevation. If by then you can't see the red terminating bars, or the runway itself, or the threshold, or the touchdown zone, you go missed from 100 feet. That's a real possibility on a real approach, and you should brief it before you ever start down. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. This regulation is not a trivia question. It is the exact mental checklist you run in the 2 or 3 seconds you have at minimums. Position for a normal landing. Flight visibility. One item from the list. Position, visibility. One item, say it out loud in the airplane, make it a rhythm. Because when you break out low and fast with the runway coming up, you do not have time to go digging through the regs in your head. You need it already loaded. And let me be honest with you about something. The way I always try to be on this show, the temptation at minimums is enormous. You have flown a whole approach. You're tired, you want to be down, and the runway is tantalizingly close. Every fiber of you wants to stretch it to say, I think I can see enough. This regulation exists precisely for that moment. It exists to protect you from you. The discipline to go missed when you have not genuinely met all three conditions. That is the mark of a real instrument pilot. Anybody can fly the approach when the weather is good. The rating is about what you do when it isn't. One more practical note for the check ride. When your examiner asks you about 91 Foley 75, they don't just want the visibility number. They want to hear those three conditions, and they want to hear that list of visual references. Know them, and know the approach light sub-rule, the 100-foot floor. That single detail separates the applicant who memorized a number from the applicant who actually understands the bottom of an approach. The information for today's segment comes straight from the Federal Aviation Regulations themselves, 91 Foley 75, and the visual reference list you'll find right there in paragraph C, along with the Instrument Flying Handbook. If you want to dig deeper on any of this, we keep resources over at radiohangar.com. So next time you're bumping down through the gray toward minimums, run the rhythm, position, visibility, one item from the list, and have the discipline to go around when even one of them is missing. That decision made, honestly, is what keeps you flying long enough to earn all those coins. This is Pattern. Fly safe, and I'll see you next time.